This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2 o'clock on the dot. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out in Riverside. Or is it still Riverside or did he go somewhere? He's still in Riverside?
I moved on, Tone.
He moved on. Where you at now?
It's even better than Riverside. Bakersfield.
Oh, yes. Good old Bakersfield.
That's right. Didn't you play here a long time ago?
I don't know if I played there, but I spent some time up there. I had some family that live in Bakersfield.
Oh, you had some time here. Okay,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Nonetheless, we are back, the three of us, although not in studio, one in spirit and voice, the other here in the physical. Matthew, how is the connection part going today for you two gentlemen? Chris is here. I mean, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, but the swear word that he yelled right before we went on the air, I was concerned about because we both heard that. I think the connection is going to be okay for now. We're going to have to figure out a more permanent solution.
Are we going to have to send Chris to like a laptop connection school?
Thank you for asking, Tony, because Chris, I actually did some legwork last night. And there are computer 101 classes that are out there for someone to take. And I have gone ahead and I have signed you up for computer 101. And you're going to have to take those classes. And it's an online class. I don't know how they're going to teach online, an online
connection
class to people who don't know how the computer. But there you go, buddy. That's my Christmas present to you.
Wow. So nice.
It's not necessary. It's absolutely.
I've already
not
paid for it, so
it's totally not necessary. I have followed every instruction I've been given, Tony Gwynn Jr. Okay. I just want that on
He's
the record.
He's defending himself right now.
Of course, I've done everything I've been told to do.
So apparently, the directions are the issue here. Maybe we need to have a class.
One of two. Here's the thing. It's one of three things. It's either operator error, which is me. It's either directions I'm being given, which is Scraby, or it's just the equipment itself, which maybe is Adam. I'm not sure.
No.
You're just blaming me 100%, and that's just not right.
Well, let me tell all the computer people out there what's going on. Maybe they'll have a solution. Chris is on the camera. He can do everything except for hear us. I can hear him. He can see us. He just cannot hear us. And I've gone through every
step. Now, this is, to be clear, this is for the YouTube element of it, correct?
Yes, that. And we're trying to get cleaner audio, which is through Zoom or Google Meet that produces cleaner audio than the app that we're using right now. But, Chris, we're going to have to pick out your start date because I already paid for it.
Chris says it's not necessary. So, you know, there's that portion of it.
Here's my one last thing I want to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I understand that the younger generation led in this case, unfortunately for all of you younger people, you're led in this case by Matt Scraby. He is your leader. Here's the thing.
Where's this going?
Where this is going is the fact that I'm in a bit of an older generation. And I understand that I don't know as much about the computer world as the rest of you. But signing me up for a class is obnoxious and completely and totally unfair because for my generation, I say I am in the upper crest, an upper third of people in terms of understanding how to use this stuff.
Well, that's so not there. True. That's not true. But here's what I can tell you, Chris.
You find another 80-year-old person who can do what I do.
Dang, you went up to 80?
I would. Yeah, are you 80? Like, what happened? You're only like 63 or something.
You're making me feel that way.
Chris, I have to reveal, I didn't sign you up for a class, but there was some searching into it before the show just to see if we could sign you up for a class. But the intended effect happened. Yeah. Chris was angry with me.
Yeah,
over
that was a setup the whole time, Chris. I would never let him sign you up for a class without your authorization.
Tony had your back, and I was just continuing to try to push the authorization.
You can sign me up for whatever you want. There's no way you're going to get me to show up.
Touche.
One last thing.
Okay, one more thing.
Last thing. Chris, I understand that you don't have a computer brain, a technology brain. I get that. That's fine. I don't have a math brain. I don't have some things that you have.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do think it's in your best interest to try to get the basics because everything's going to get more difficult as we go along in time.
Sorry.
Hang with him. All right, let's get to some sports. Just Kyle Glazer will join us today, talk a little bit about some of the young prospects that were put onto the 40-man roster for the Padres. Let's talk about this Roki Sasaki story that popped up today. His agent, Joe Wolf, who I believe represents Yu Darvish as well, denied allegations.
That's a good little tidbit, by the way, Tony.
Yes.
For those looking for an edge for the Padres.
I do believe that those are a connecting piece.
Yeah.
Joe Wolf of Wiserman denied the allegations on Wednesday, hours after the commissioner, Rob Manfred, also tried to kind of quell the topic. Quoting, while a bunch of executives who should know better, who should know me better, and do a lot of business with me, insult my integrity by insinuating that I would be a part of some type of nefarious agreement. In reality, this is just poor sportsmanship. Now, what he is referring to is kind of the quiet talk behind the scenes that there is some kind of handshake deal with the Dodgers already. And I could tell you from my own experience behind the scenes, a lot of the default position on the people that end up on the outside looking in on a lot of these things are usually the ones starting this conversation. So really, basically, in the last 7 years, you're talking like Padres, Dodgers, Yankees, you know, the teams that are typically have been in it recently. The other teams are the ones that you know, almost sour grapes will start to kind of start these little conversations, as this one is here, that Roki Sasaki is already, he's going to the Dodgers. They got a handshake deal already done. And that's what he's referring to by poor sportsmanship. They aren't in on it because maybe Roki doesn't like those particular places. And so what they do, revert to these type of tactics where, you know, you start to try to muddy the waters on whoever it is. And, you know, I think it does a disservice to Roki. But, you know, I do like the agent coming out and defending himself on this one, Chris.
Well, yeah, if the agent has to, obviously. We don't know 100%, but I agree with you, Tony. Teams like the Royals, I'm picking on the Royals here, and they had a good year, but teams like the Royals, I don't know, name these lousy teams in baseball. The Rockies, there's a one that we use often when we're referring to lousy organizations. The A's, thank you. You know, these teams always sit there and complain about what the richer teams are doing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in the past. Remember, the luxury tax is supposed to be there for smaller market teams like the Pirates, the Rockies, whoever they are, to use that money that they're given to try and compete better for free agents. But we know what happens to that extra money, Tony.
Yeah, they pocket
it. It goes into the pockets of the owners, and they don't use it to try to compete with the bigger teams. And then they make complaints like the one we're hearing and the sour grapes that are being made right now, which is, well, if, you know, because their fan base, I mean, there's a talk show in Denver somewhere. There's a talk show in Pittsburgh somewhere where somebody's calling in and saying, hey, why aren't we in the running for Rory Suzuki? And what comes back? Well, what comes back is, well, the Pirates don't get involved because we already know the Dodgers have a done deal.
Exactly.
It's done.
Exactly.
And when it's not happening that way, and, you know, I just do better. I mean, do better out there. This, you know, I liken this a lot to, let's take the kids at La Costa Canyon High School.
There were some that, why?
Because some cool kids, the really upper class, upper crest kids, some of them were not quite in the cool group. The Scrabies of the school.
He's not lying. He's not lying. I think I'm actually below the just under the cool group.
No, you're even under that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes, third group,
yes,
down.
I'm third,
but,
group
but
down.
Tell me
tier
then,
three.
Okay, since you have experience with this Scraby, what happens when the beautiful girl on campus shows up, the Scraby type individual says, ah, they've already made up their minds to go out with the cool kids. And they don't put in the effort, and they don't improve themselves.
Dress
a little better. Look a little better. You know, have a little better, more interest in, and be more interesting.
I think as a tier three guy, I would never even think about approaching her in high school.
Why not?
For sure.
There you have it. The Rockies won't think about approaching Sasaki, will they?
Your analogy holds, Chris. It does. And why I wouldn't approach her is because rejection is scary.
Ah, you're scared.
And rejection in high school is even scarier.
I tell you what, this actually turns out to be a pretty good analogy, right? Because doesn't look like teams like the Padres or the Dodgers or the Yankees seem to be afraid of being told no. They probably have seen more no's than everybody
else.
They're
not afraid of rejection.
Because they're not afraid of rejection.
This is a great life lesson.
I've come up with something here.
Man, if only you could use a computer.
That also will lead us later on down the conversation of kind of where the media is. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. LeBron James said he's taking a break from media. I think it was Kevin Durant's agent that kind of, as really athletes and alike do often, they kind of lump media and they kind of lump a whole bunch of folks in that together. I think at some point today, Chris and I and Scraby will kind of dissect where that is, how we parse that out, and you know, the state of media player relationships. It seems like feels like we're at like kind of a tipping point with, in terms of how it's being covered, because we're also right in the middle of kind of how sports is being covered changing from what it was at one point to what it is now. And it seems like it's still evolving as
there's
we speak.
There's a lot of change happening everywhere in the sports world. It's all happening at once, too.
You got the TV stuff coming up. I mean,
oh, robo-umps and spring trading.
By the way, it's crossed my mind as that TV story came up yesterday. But the collective bargaining agreement is like, what, 2 years away? It feels like we just did that thing, like, not that long ago. And here we are again, and that's where the whole, was it 2026? Or 2028 kind of comes together for...
2028 is the TV thing.
Is the TV thing. But I think that's also when, around the same time, the collective bargaining agreement is...
2026.
Okay, so 2 years of that. 2 years from now, the collective bargaining agreement. 2 years from that, the TV rights deal thing comes up. So a lot kind of happening here in the next... Feels like in these next couple of years in terms of sports and how it's going to go. Got more conversation coming baseball-wise. Kyle Glazer joins us a little later in the 2 o'clock hour. There's been starting to be some meetings perking up here in baseball. Blake Snell seeing some of the an NL West opponent along with an AL East team. Rob Manfred, wants to... We will introduce the robo-umps this spring training with eyes of having it ready for the 2026 season. So we'll get a chance to kind of dissect the robo-umps this spring training, which I'm sure will be fun. We'll probably be having a lot of conversations about that, I assume.
Major League Baseball has hired me as a consultant to work with the computer programming that's going to go into fixing the robo-umps.
We're in trouble.
One last thing on the whole TV deal. We finally heard from one of the big dogs in terms of these teams, right? Dodgers have their own TV. Yankees, certainly the YES Network. I kind of got a quote from Steinbrenner, and it at least made me feel like the door is open for, you know, a team like the Yankees or Dodgers to kind of acquiesce to what Rob Manfred wants to do. He says, we just haven't gotten into it enough that I could give you an intelligent answer to that. We haven't got into it. We only own 25% of YES. We got a lot of other owners. And, you know, that's a discussion to have at some point with them or not have with them. But we're not there yet. So no door completely shut. No door completely open either. So,
whatever we do, we'll give you a tremendous effort.
Said Rob Manfred.
Yes.
Let's get to break on this other side. Talk a little bit about some of the Padre prospects that have popped up and are on that 40-man roster. Also, the NBA has decided they will revamp the All-Star game once again. I think it's a good idea. And a lot more Gwen and Chris. Short show today. Steelers, Browns, follows. We'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, 222 is the time. It's actually quite a beautiful day in Bakersfield, where I happen to be. And I should shout out the Aztec women's basketball team. Tony, they win again last night. They're 5-0, so they're having a really terrific season. Going to be on the road for the next couple of weeks before they get back to San Diego. But, you know, with women's basketball kind of at an all-time high, might be the kind of year you want to come out and see this team play out at Viejas Arena. Stacey Terry Hudson's got a good club. And one thing that's fun about it, Tony, she's got four freshmen, and they all play quite a bit, and none of them really look like freshmen. It's amazing to me just how prepared these young athletes are now when they get to college. And I'm sure you've seen it with your daughters playing soccer and, you know, just in almost every sport now, kids are better than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think the kind of popularity in like individual training and having access to that now, I think it just changes the readiness for incoming freshmen. I think freshmen now are so much different than they were, you know, even 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because there's a better understanding of the level of, you know, of commitment it takes to play at that level. And I think so many kids now, because they're exposed to it so early, I think one of the benefits of it, there's a lot of negative pullaways from it, but one of the benefits is they step on campus typically prepared to contribute to a team in any sport, it seems like. I think you've seen that across the board. It's not just basketball, whether baseball, football, any of the major sports we're talking. More freshmen than ever are stepping up, men and women, and are able to contribute early.
And I think it's also the same going from the college to the pro level.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years ago was it that rookie quarterbacks were, you know, to be seen but not heard from for at least a couple of years while they sat and learned?
You almost had to be a guaranteed Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning to get a start from the very beginning.
That's right. And now, I mean, look, Tom Brady was third string, you know, when he started. Steve Young sat behind Joe Montana, and then the list goes on and on and on. But nowadays, Jaden Daniels steps in. He's already one of the better quarterbacks in the league, you know, like 10 games into his career. So I think it goes, you know, from high school to college, also from college to the pros. And speaking about that, it's a big day for Deion Sanders. Much to Scraby's dismay.
Much to his chagrin.
Yes, Colorado.
I don't know why you malign me all the time.
Well, because you hate Deion.
I mean, you absolutely hate him. Deion.
You can't stand
him. I hate Coach Prime.
It's the same person.
Deion is different from Coach Prime.
No. I know you keep trying to convince yourself of that.
Yeah, I don't call him Coach Prime. I like to call him Deion. And
well, wouldn't he kick you out of his locker room if you didn't call him Coach Prime?
He's not in his locer room, so he gets to call him Deion.
He has qualifications for everything.
Thank you, Tony. But no, they get one of the top quarterback recruits. They steal him away from USC, I think it was.
Yeah, flipped him.
And he decides he's going to go to Colorado. He's the number two guy. And his son, Shedeur Sanders, is being, you know, as you said yesterday, Tony, he's being talked about as the number one pick in the draft. And guess who's now being talked about as the number two pick right behind him?
Travis Hunter.
And that's Travis Hunter, the other Colorado player, who says today that he's definitely going to turn pro. The Colorado Buffaloes are, and believe this, Scraby, even if you don't want to, they are one of the most interesting and more highly regarded programs in the nation, and it's all happened in less than a year and a half. And for that, you have to give Deion Sanders some level of credit, even if you're not a fan.
He has one thing that everybody else doesn't, the fact that he is Deion Sanders. That's why people will flip in his heartbeat, because they want to play for a guy like Deion Sanders.
It's not just that, though. This story is so fun to me because it started out so great, and then it like quickly went the other way to end last year, where they lose like 8 straight down the stretch.
Yeah, it was glorious.
It was glorious. And then they come into this year. I think they lose a big one early, and everybody thought, "Oh, here we go again." And all they've done is gone 8-2. I think first with the young kid that made the decision to flip his decision from USC to Colorado. That kid was going to USC for a long time. He had been committed. He reclassified from a 2026 to a 2025.
Julian Lewis.
Yes. He is now going to Colorado. And part of that, from what he said, was he knows that he feels pretty confident that staff is going to be able to get him ready. There's a Hall of Famer, two Hall of Famers on that staff. And then they have a offensive coordinator who was an offensive coordinator in the NFL for forever. And so, you know, that's what kids who are of this, you know, 4-, 5-star, 3-star players are trying to do is go pro. And I think the other thing is put the football aside. If you are a 16, 17-year-old kid trying to decide where you're going to go to school and Colorado is on your list and you have the grades to get in there, who wouldn't want to go experience that as a football player, as a student? You're going to be going into a packed house every football game. You're going to have a chance to be in a beautiful area. From what I've heard, Colorado was already a pretty fun school to go to at that age. I think this is set up for not only Prime, but the whole university to really move themselves up a few notches here.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying.
You think, like, what do you mean? Like, you think it's going to become a sports powerhouse?
Forget
basketball?
The sports part. I'm just saying as a...
Deion Sanders is going to... I'm saying as a
17-year-old, you know, I'm sure there's nothing more... That, if you're not an athlete and you want to go experience college, you want to go to a school that's got good football, you want to go to a school that's got good basketball, you can cross off all of that there. And the area in which it's already in is already pretty A+.
I was already committed to Colorado. Remember that, guys?
I'm just saying this seems like a fun place to be if you are in the college years, regardless of whether you're playing football.
That I agree with.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, so, I do. Yeah. I thought you were saying that Deion was going to be cut, like he's going to get like a Nobel Peace Prize or something like that.
Wasn't saying that at all, Scrape.
He's still a few wins behind Gino Auriemma, so we'll wait a little bit on that. But believe this, Scrape, and everybody else, Colorado is one of the teams that is in line, if everything breaks correctly, to come to the Holiday Bowl this year. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if Colorado doesn't win the Big 12 championship and if Colorado doesn't get into the college football playoff. But if the Holiday Bowl had its pick of the litter,
without a doubt,
there is not even a hesitation that Colorado would be the team they would want to bring out here.
And guess
what? And that says something for Colorado, man. They're in demand, Scrape.
Yeah, guess what? Everybody in the city would buy that ticket to go watch that team play, without a doubt.
I'm going to watch Travis Hunter, and that's about it.
Well, that's fine. You'll be buying a ticket.
I would be like, hey, I'm going to try to get an interview with Deion, and then I'm awkward.
Well, yeah, get him on the show, Scraby, if they come to town. I'm tasking you with that.
I don't know that he does interviews with local radio stations, but I will try if he's heading to town.
All right. We'll take a quick time out here. When we come back to baseball we go. Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, will join us. Break down all the young Padres and some of the free agent situations around Major League Baseball. You know Kyle. He's got all that insight. He will share it with us next on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. 2:36 on the clock. Kyle Glazer will join us shortly. Talk a little bit of Padres minor league system as well as upcoming free agency. There's been some door knocking in free agency. A lot of meetings happening right now. A lot of people putting stories out there right now to make teams think somebody's leaning one way or the other.
And then people like the Pirates and the Rockies and the Royals and all of those lousy teams just crying because they can't get anybody and can't get anything done. I actually shouldn't include the Royals because the Royals stepped up last year.
They did. And they were rewarded for it,
and they were rewarded. That's right. They got into the playoffs. I mean, that ought to be a message to these other teams that sit idly by every year and don't do anything.
Yeah, not a fan of the complaining and crying and, you know, doing these dirty little tactics, you know, claiming someone's got a side deal going. I'm telling you, that happens often. Like, it may not get to a fever pitch where somebody's actually reporting on it, but you hear stuff like that all the time. And generally speaking, the Dodgers, Yankees are typically names that get thrown out there because typically they're the ones that end up on the right side of it. And so instead of trying to compete, you get a lot of this nonsense that's happening, which I was glad to see was addressed today. Scrape your eye, all right, man. You keep touching your eye. I'm like, you got pink eye, dog?
No, I definitely don't have pink eye, but last night on the drive home, my eye started like hurting and I thought something was in it. So I've done everything. I've rinsed it out. I've tried eye drops. I've tried everything. But I think I scratched it yesterday because I was flailing my arms in disgust over Chris's computer situation that I literally did hit myself in the eye.
That's what you get.
You know what? I'll go to a computer class. You go into a class of human behavior. How's that?
I have manners. I have manners. What are you talking about?
Chris, I have been following. This is completely off subject as we wait to get Kyle on. Completely off subject, but I have been following Alex Ovechkin.
And
he's been scoring some goals, but news just broke that he has a fracture in his left fibula. and is anticipated to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He was actually impressing me. He was scoring goals at a pretty high rate here to close the gap on Mr. Gretzky, but that'll all have to come to a halt for now.
That's actually a big story, Tony. I mean, you're right. Ovechkin had a hat trick the other night in the game against Las Vegas, and I think he pulled within 29 goals of Gretzky, which is, you know, because when this season started, nobody thought he'd quite get there based on his, just how old he is. But he's been scoring goals, and now this is not only is that a big setback, but you talk about a guy his age, he's not going to recover from this injury. A younger player would, so this could be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not funny, but when you start getting up in the 40-plus area, you get hurt, a 4 to 6 week injury, that could turn out longer.
It's going to be six for sure.
Right.
I can guarantee you that.
The quick healing agent is no longer there.
And the one last thing, this is mean, but it's true. I guarantee there's people in the hockey world that are quietly a little glad that this has happened, not because he got hurt, but because people really, really, really want Gretzky to hold on to this record.
I can see that.
They're not really rooting for Ovechkin to break it, even though it's historical. And that's just, I don't think that speaks to Ovechkin. I think that just speaks to the greatness and the reverence that Gretzky has held in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to our guest for the day. Kyle Glazer joins us, Baseball America. Kyle, how are you, my friend? You enjoying some time off?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely nice to be here in the off season. Although, with all the free agency speculation going around, it doesn't feel like a true break.
I guess I should. You'd probably never really get a true break dealing with baseball in its off season. I guess I should start with Roki Sasaki. The report today came out. His agent really kind of dismantling this notion that there is a handshake deal between him and the Dodgers. You've been in the industry. You know these type of rumors bubble up often, but a lot of times don't get to paper. Nobody's reporting it. Why do you think it was necessary at this point for Joel Wolf, the agent, to kind of get out there and really pour cold water on this rumor?
Just because you start to see it gain traction in the sense that, look, the Dodgers have always been a very, very attractive destination for Japanese players, pitchers in particular, dating back to Hideo Nomo through Kaz Ishii, Kenta Maeda, and, of course, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, plus the free agency signing of Shohei Ohtani. And there was definitely a little bit of a sense. It was more among fans, and you started to see it gain traction in social media that, oh, it's just going to be the Dodgers. The deal's already done. The truth is, when I spoke to people in the industry, agent side, team official side, no one in the game actually believed that. They all thought the Dodgers would be potentially one of the favorites. But this was something that was just sort of gaining traction unfoundedly through social media. And I think it's important when there's a false narrative out there, it is the agent's job to pour cold water on it. So I thought it was appropriate for him to state what he did, which is the truth. There is no handshake deal. And if there was, you'd hear a lot more about it from people in the game. And that's just not happening.
Kyle, I want to ask you a little bit to, flip over to the Padres for a minute. And every time we talk about young and farm system and up and coming, the conversation is pretty much 100% about Ethan Salas and DeVries, which is all well and good. But I'm just curious, who else is there? I mean, these guys are a couple of years away. I'm looking at the Padres last year, and, this team had a great season, but it was based on acquisitions from other places. I can't take out Jackson Merrill entirely. He was obviously homegrown. But everybody behind him really didn't get the job done, from Campusano to Graham Pauly to Jose Azokar. Who's coming for the Padres while we wait for Salas, DeVries?
There's not a whole lot. Look, this is a team that has been very, very aggressive in trading prospects over the last 2 years to build a contender at the big league level. And we've seen it work in a lot of ways. They've reached the playoffs 3 out of the last 5 years. They won a playoff series each year. And last year, the Padres had the second most wins in franchise history, behind only the 98 team. In order to build that, they gave up a ton of talent. So you have a couple of arms who we could see breakthrough. Ryan Berger is someone we just saw got put on the 40-man roster. He could come up and help. There are some useful arms that could come up, and you know, be spot starters, potentially long relief types, some short relief guys. But on the position player side, there's really not a whole lot there. I mean, Tirsor Ennis is an outfielder who, if you really like him, is kind of an up-down guy. So I think realistically, there's not going to be a whole lot of help coming from the position player side, which is, you know, one of the things they're going to have to really, really, really work on to make sure that their guys stay healthy, because there's just not a lot of depth right now.
Kyle, obviously the conversation in terms of the Padres prospect centers around the two young kids, right? And we've had a little change between the two young guys. I mean, DeVries has come on, and I don't know how many people you've talked to, but at least in conversations that I hear, there seems to be almost a different excitement about DeVries than there is Salas. Both one and two, both highly touted prospects with a ton of potential, but just in hearing people talk about DeVries, there seems to be like there's a different type of tone when they talk about DeVries versus Salas.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of both of these guys and talked a lot about both these guys. I mean, it's not hard to see when you see a Leo DeVries. He's just so athletic and explosive, and you know, you see the size coming. He kind of strikes you as that athletic freak type who, if it all clicks and everything comes together, has a chance to be one of those, you know, big, strong, physical shortstops who's hitting for average and power and doing everything. That's really exciting. You know, Salas, it's more about his poise, his maturity, the mental aspects of the game. You know, he's not hugely tooled up. He's not huge physically. He's not a guy who has, you know, crazy bat speed, but he's, you know, a good, smart, heady, mature ball player. So it's just two different types of players. And the reason you hear all the excitement about DeVries is there's a physicality and an athleticism aspect that's pretty special if it all clicks. And you got to remember, we're talking about a 17-year-old yet to play above low A. So we need to give him time, but you can certainly dream on something special.
Kyle Glazer is with us talking some baseball, and he's always got great insight. This is why I can ask you this type of question, Kyle. But it's not a question I would ever ask myself to try and take a stab at. But just for those that can't wait for Salas, can't wait for DeVries, what kind of comparisons can we make to established stars for each of these players in terms of what they're like? Not maybe what their career numbers will be, but who they remind us of. If you think of Salas, you think of DeVries.
So I'm going to stay away from comping teenagers who have yet to play above A-ball. I really think that it's just not fair to them to put some of the names that, you know, people get overly excited about. Just let these guys develop on their own. Look, there's a lot of talent, but look, they've been pushed very, very aggressively. We have seen the majority of Potter's prospects that's happened to flop or need to go somewhere else to have success later. Jackson Merrill's the exception, not the rule. And I think it's important to just give these kids time, let them grow physically, and not push them too fast or place expectations on them with names of guys who are, you know, multiple-time all-stars or franchise players or anything like that. These are still kids who have a long way to go, and we just let them be them at the pace that's right for them.
Kyle Glazer joins us here, Baseball America. And Kyle, you know, baseball has a lot of tails. Major League Baseball has a lot of tails. Typically, when they start to introduce or leak something out there, it usually means it's on the way. Except for this one particular thing. The robo-umps were leaked, I would say, back in 2020, 2021 maybe. But it hasn't quite come to fruition, I think, as fast as Major League Baseball wants. Found out that this year in spring training, the robo ump system will be put out for, you know, I think for us to kind of get a taste of. How long do you, I know they want to get it done by 26. Do you think that is a time frame that it can actually get done based on the fact that they've had to seemingly go back to the lab to try to figure this thing out?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this a lot throughout my time at Baseball America. The short version is the system just wasn't good. It was not getting calls right. It was just really bad. They had to constantly fix what is the size of the strike zone, what's the shape of the strike zone to get it to work even some, you know, remotely well. They've really gone away, and rightfully, in my opinion, from the idea of a full you know, quote unquote robo ump system where every ball and strike is called by the umpire. What they have found, what everyone has found to be more accurate calls, better pace of play, better product on the field, more entertainment, is the challenge system, in which an umpire is still calling balls and strikes, but the hitter or the catcher can challenge a ball or strike call, and they get three challenges a game, and then it goes up on the video board, and the entire stadium can see if the call was right or not. Realistically, that is the system that works, and that's the system that is going to come to Major League Baseball. We're not going to see a system where the, you know, automated ball strike system, ABS, calls every pitch of every game. They've tried, failed. It's just not a good system. The challenge system is what we're going to see because it's just much, much better all the way around and solves all the problems.
Kyle, let me ask you about the free agent class this year. The free agent class that's not Juan Soto, you know, because it seems like everything revolves around him, as maybe well it should. But what kind of free agents, the Padres, if they strike in free agency, if they're able to get into free agency, who do you think's a good value that's out there, maybe being overlooked a little bit right now?
Well, he's not overlooked, but the best value is Roki Sasaki. I mean, you can go ahead and get a number one type of pitcher for, you know, a signing bonus, depending on if the Padres acquire extra international bonus space, you know, anywhere from $6 to $10 million. So that is the biggest bargain if they can get it. And that's where they're going to put most of their efforts and time and resources, and that's where they should. You know, short of that, I mean, there's some buy low guys. I mean, if you wanted to buy low on Yoan Moncada, you could. I wouldn't. You know, do you want to buy low on Eloy Jimenez as a DH? You know, that could be something that might be worthwhile. You know, Tyler O'Neill, I don't think he'll be cheap. But, look, he's a powerful, you know, right-handed bat with, you know, good defense and left field, which is something they could use. So there are options out there, you know, outside of, you know, the top tier. But realistically, you know, given the Padres' need for another starter with Joe Musgrove going down for the season after having Tommy John surgery, I mean, Roki Sasaki fits exactly what they need and also the price point he's at given their salary situation.
Kyle, I just want to, real quick, I want to have a follow-up question on the strike zone issue. So ideally, what will happen is a player or whoever will challenge a call. It'll go up to the system. Is that still the same ABS system that was used without the challenge? Because wouldn't that still possibly have the pitches that weren't called strikes a situation on a player that he's challenging?
So what was happening before was pitches that were bouncing in the dirt and then jumping up into the zone were being called strikes.
Gotcha.
We also had issues. Yeah, that's where we had issues. So when it's a pitch that you can see visibly is pretty close,
gotcha,
you know, it can still work in instances. But there's too many other instances where it wasn't working.
Okay, so basically the calls that an umpire would never call a strike are going to be out of the loop.
Correct.
It's just going to be those close ones. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Kyle Glazer with us. Kyle, we always appreciate your time, man, dropping some knowledge on us. We'll catch up again soon.
Yep, my pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Kyle Glazer, as always, good information. That ABS situation.
But he dodged my question about who to compare those guys to.
Listen, I think that's kind of a lose-lose right there comparing.
Yes, that's right. And that's why I said to him,
and 18-year-olds.
I would never address this myself, so I'm asking you this.
Yeah.
But no, that was a smart answer. But you know how fans are, Tony. They want to know what's Leo DeVal. You know, they want to know right now what Leo DeVallis' career is going to look, or DeVries' career is going to look like. You know,
yeah.
So you try to figure it out.
I would like to say this is a me thing. Kyle Glazer's with MLB.com now.
Ah,
yes, yeah. Yes,
yes. You had me saying Baseball America. So
I did.
I wonder why that is, because that's how it was written in the rundown.
No, Baseball this is America. I opened this conversation with this is on me.
Just because you take fault doesn't mean we can't aim shots at you now.
I apologized to him for because he
did he text you?
No. Gosh, no. He had a hint in there. He said with my time at Baseball America, or in my time at Baseball America.
Oh,
I was like,
that.
Oh. I think that means he doesn't. It's past tense.
Well, good for you for listening, because I wasn't. I missed that on that one.
MLB.com, everybody. Kyle Glazer.
Kyle Glazer. He brought up a good point, though, in terms, because you do hear the conversation around Salas and DeVries a little bit different, but they are different. DeVries has an explosive type of body swing. Salas is just kind of more smooth operator a little bit.
Smooth operator.
Yeah, we'll sell that. All right, let's get to break. Smooth operator. After Scraby stops singing.
Chris tells me to shush.
Daily Gambit on the way.